everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the OMS head.
I can't remember what that means. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games. What does OMS mean?
Well, we're not playing games today. Let's just make that clear. OMS is Operations Management Systems.
Yeah.
Because today we are talking about role-playing game resource management.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Various resources and the methods of tracking them and how the resources in your game relate to the gameplay.
And how they should.
How they should.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong word.
Should. I'm coming in hot. We'll get to it later.
All right.
Okay. Outline. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about different types of resources in a, you know, pretend gaming space. Methods of management. We're going to talk about setting and tone. And then we're going to talk about this idea of resource management versus fun.
Yep. I should have been the FIFO head. God damn.
Or like a... Well, I don't know what that one is.
Well, it's fighting words is what it is. First in, first out. You know, it's an inventory system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? But like, you know, that's just how the society works. Like, you get to the coffee shop first. You're the one who puts your order in first. Yeah. You get out of the coffee shop first. Right? You know. Cutsies, right?
Yeah.
People get upset when you cut in line because they were first.
Nobody likes cutsies.
But... Yeah. Anyways, so types of resources that you can use a first in, first out system for.
Like right? Most things that we talk about on this podcast, we are not going to give you a comprehensive list of all the different resources there could be because we don't fucking have one. But also because that wouldn't be interesting and it's not necessary for what we're talking about. So we've broken it into two different sort of types of resources. One being real resources. Real meaning like tangible, physical. There is a number, there's a quantity attached to them, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can have a quantity.
You can have quantities of some attached. Of these other things too we're going to get to. But this
okay,
is...
So for real resources, we're talking about like the physical items that your character possesses in their like rucksack or backpack or
on their spaceship or castle
car or whatever, right? You know, classic examples, bullets, money, food.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. You can count every single bullet.
Consumables would also...
Yeah, consumables is maybe a word that...
Would
they're
definitely...
not always all consumables, but, I mean, money is... You spend it. That's a little different.
Yeah, well, I'd say you consume money.
The resource... Yeah.
Well, I guess, or the resource for real resources, the type of resources that we're talking about, they tick down.
Yeah.
Whereas the other type that we're going to talk about, they tick up.
Yeah. Not always. They could also tick down, though.
That's true. Okay. Scratch that.
It's not bad.
Reset the tape.
You know what? Well, all of this is going to make more sense when we say the second type of thing in a second here. Ready, go.
Me?
Sure, or I'll say it.
Well, we have it written down as nominal.
Notional.
Notional.
Yeah.
There's like a difference of three letters in those two words. Anyways.
Yeah, but
notional resources. Theoretical resources.
Theoretical could be another. So these are things that like you can't count every single one of. Like
they're more abstract.
Bullets. This is feelings, vibes.
Right. Not something your character can carry.
Yeah. And they have sort of like the amorphous concept of they are high or low, a lot or a little. But it's harder to attach a number to them without that number being pretty arbitrary.
Well, I would say abstract, not necessarily arbitrary.
Well, but like if I say I'm five tired, that's arbitrary without... Attaching
without
scale
a scale
to it.
Sure,
you know?
Sure, sure. Anyways, tired.
And tired is one of them. Hungry, some sort of sanity meter. a danger level. Like, you know, if you stay in the mission area for the longer you stay in the mission area, you know, the more dangerous it gets. A betrayal at House on the Hill was a good version of this, where just like, you know, for the more things that are spooky going on in the house, the more likely it is for the thing to happen.
Mm.
And that, yeah, that danger rating is reflected by a couple of different dice mechanics, but it's hard to say that, like, you know, the danger rating is a 7, or, you know, that there is 7 dangers, you know,
right, without having context right. for what that means.
Yeah.
Another one is health.
Health? Yeah. Because, well, health could kind of be in either of these, right? You could be counting... you could be counting hit points in a number of different ways, and I'm just going to, you know, use hit points and health interchangeably, I think, in this conversation. Because you could be using hit points and call that a, you know, a real resource, a hard resource, but then it's, you know, hit points could be representing different things, like hit points in D&D representing, you know, how much you can get hurt in an adventuring day, while still, you know, being able to go to sleep and be fine afterwards, versus, you know, hit points in, like, Cyborg, which more sort of represent, like, your luck in a gunfight, and when it runs out, you get really hurt type of thing. Like, one is less, one is less solid than the other. You know?
I still don't think that counts as a real resource. By the definition that we have, true. Right?
It's not, I would say,
something
yeah.
you can carry in your bag.
Right.
Right? It is...
Yeah. That's you can't stack cases of it.
And that one... So I think maybe we should come back to health and hit points as we go down this. Because that one is much more relatable, I think. Because, like, not every game has, you know, a tired mechanic.
Right.
But...
Pretty
in
much
some,
every game has
some
a
way or another. Yeah. There's a health, right?
There is toughness, health, hit points, something.
Mm-hmm.
Measured in all kinds of different ways, and reduced and replenished in all kinds of different ways. But there's some version of it.
Yeah,
and I think you're right. It's not a real resource. It's more like being tired or hungry, because you can't stack a box of it.
Yeah, we can think about it like this, listeners. The link between the two resources, right? So, like, the hard resource, or the real resources, the physical items, they can affect the notional ones, right? The abstract ones, right? So, like, oh, I have this many bullets. So instead of spending a bullet, I'm just going to take the hit. Like, I'm gonna, you know, go in there with my melee weapon because I don't want to spend the bullet resource, or spend my health resource instead.
Right.
Or, you know, a better example is the like in Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah.
Right.
We love Darkest Dungeon as
big
it,
big DD, you know, stance here.
It has you know, it is a video game, but it has a ton in common with pen and paper games. And it has this torchlight mechanic where the level of illumination, and also, like, how many torches you're carrying, that has a direct result on your stress and the stress mechanic, you know, plays into all kinds of things about how your character behaves, and one directly affects the other. Do you have enough torches to go through this dungeon in full light? If you do, you know, your
which
stress
you always should,
be...
because, like, come on. In Darkest Dungeon, you need torches. Like, why take the chance?
Well, I don't know. Some people...
I know.
Some people go, you know, no light runs to trigger
because
certain
things.
Because
they're masochists.
And, the game is already masochistic enough. It can just, like, kill you with a dice roll. And it's not like a friendly game master who might fudge the dice roll for you. No, you'll just die. But yeah, so yeah, there's a direct link oftentimes between the real resource and the notional resource. Often the amount of real resource and how you use it having some sort of bearing on how the notional resource is affecting you.
If having you have food to satiate
your
hunger.
Foods is a great example, and however you measure it, you know, but foods is a thing that you can, like, put in packages and stack multiple numbers of, so that's a real resource. And if you have a, you know, a fatigue or a hunger mechanic, food is gonna do, it's gotta affect it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And however, however the hunger mechanic actually affects, you know, players in gameplay, that's that's a different conversation. We're gonna get to that in a little bit, but yeah. So two types of resources as we see it: real, physical. You can stack them up, count every single one of them, and then notional, which is a little more abstract and probably has some relationship to the real resources at play. Now, once so we've established that there's those two kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, methods of management and tracking them.
Right. So
this is kind of the main thing we're talking about.
You might not have a lot of either resource in your, or either type of resource in your role-playing game, but chances are there's going to be at least a few.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just built in to stuff.
And you might, you know, you might go into it thinking that it's not there, but then you're going to get somewhere, and one of your players is going to astutely go like, huh, how are we fixed for food? Can we just, like, keep exploring? And then you're going to have to be like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Now I've got to make some sort of ruling about this and potentially implement some sort of resource that goes up and down.
Right. And I guess, you know, the best example of that is you're probably going to have some sort of health mechanic.
Yeah.
Right. And from the point of view of it being a resource is, do we have enough health to continue,
mm-hmm.
or do we need to, like, you know, restore our health meter, you know, in whatever way that
That
takes
is
effect.
A really great example. Like, we're talking about other kinds of resources, but there is always that one.
Mm-hmm.
And in basically any sort of adventure setting, and any sort of, like, a structured adventure for pen and paper, there's going to be the health mechanic, as we discussed. And the idea of thinking of it as a resource is going to come down to that question. Like, do we have enough to continue, or do we have to, stop and pause for a little bit, or do we have to turn around?
Right. So, keeping track of those resources, whatever resource you have in your game.
Yeah.
There's several ways and several theories on management of those and, like, you know, keeping track.
Mm-hmm. So, we have these listed out in descending order of complexity, and it just so happens that more complex involves more dice, more math, and more mechanics, and the less complex involves less of those things. It's, you know, it should follow logically, but, so, one, we have an actual count. Like, you are going to keep track of every single bullet, every piece of food, and there's going to be some sort of attached value to them as far as, like, what happens when you use them.
And I think it is worth pointing out here that the complexity that we're talking about is not, like, how much math is, like, behind it, right? Because counting is simple, right? You can do that with tally marks.
Yes.
But the complexity we're talking about is, like, how often you have to do
how many things you have to do it for, and how often are you tracking. And if you have to, you know,
count every single bullet, that's going to be very complex because you have to keep track of every single bullet.
And if it's even more granular than that, like your weapon degrades every time you use it, you know, more dice rolls, more tally marks, more categories of things to keep track in, that's what we're talking about. So when you're keeping an actual count and you have a high number of different resources at play,
it gets complex.
Yeah. Then you take a step down from that, and there's the system in Forbidden Lands and Cyborg and Morkborg, resource and, like, incident dice. I added incident. So resource dice is kind of what it sounds like. Like, there, you know, there's a, you just have a dice value of something. We talked about it in our review, and we also used it when we played Dangerous Spaceman a little while ago, because that was kind of a hack off of the cyborg system. I was super taken with the way they managed ammo in their game system. You have, you know, a number, a dice denomination of how much ammo you have.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't relate to, like, an actual shots, count.
Right. People get confused about that at first. They say, like, oh, I have D8 ammo, so do I roll my D8? No, you have D8 ammo. After a fight, you roll to see if you're out of ammo or not.
Mm-hmm. Right. The higher denomination you have, the less chance... Mm-hmm. of being out.
Because you go from a 12 to a 10 to a D8 to a D6, and then on the D6, that's where you have the potential to be out of ammo. But it takes time to get up to... It takes, like, looting out in the world to get up to a D12. So there's always a chance that you could lose some ammo, but it's just kind of action movie rules. It's dramatic when you run out of ammo, but if there's no drama needed for this moment, you know, you're probably just going to have more ammo.
Mm-hmm. So that is, it's less complex, even though, like, it might take a little explaining and, like, you know, a little, you know, thought to get your head around it. Yeah. But it's less complex because you don't have to keep track of every little bullet.
Yeah.
You just roll a dice and the dice says yes or no.
The right? dice
it's
is going to say
a binary option.
Yes, you have more resources. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's binary. Yes, you do. No, you don't. And then the probability increases or decreases depending on what your resource die is.
Yeah.
In the same vein, an incident dice. Say you're using a I don't know. Doesn't matter what dice, but like on a one, when the characters are traveling through this territory, on a one, there's a negative encounter, right? Maybe at first, when the threat level is low, you start with a D12, so it's unlikely that they're going to roll a 1. But every morning and every night, when they, you know, break camp or when they set up for watch, you make them roll that. Then the longer they've been in there, the more trouble they've gotten into, the more likely it is that people are going to be looking for them or whatever the situation is in the game you're playing. Maybe you start to decrease that dice denomination in the same way. And now they're rolling a D6, much more likely to come up with a 1 and trigger something. That way, that's a way that resource/incident dice can also be used for notional resources like danger or sanity or
hit points, right? Yeah. You know, so the incident dice is just what is the chance you're going to start losing hit points, right? You know, the more bad things happen, the more you get attacked, the more, you know, enemies you face, the greater chance you're going to, you know, take some hits, you know, take some wounds, some damage.
Yeah. Then we have this last one, which it's hard to put this one into words. We've used it in, like, our RPG Lights. We've used it when we want to, like... casually role play with a group of people for a one shot. We don't usually, you know, do this group or, you know, whatever. So we play these RPG light systems, and in this we just have, like, kind of tiers or categories of how much of a thing there is, and we don't track hardly any numbers. So just, you know, you're not hurt or you are hurt in place of the concept of hit points, or you know, you're broke or you're rich, just, you know, stuff like that. Well, like, let me ask you, what do you think? Is your character wealthy? Okay, then yeah, I think you'd be able to afford this. And we're not counting money, we're not reducing, you know, numbers or keeping tally marks of anything. We are just pure narration. Think about, like, what tier are you on a scale of a lot to a little at any given point, and narrating the results versus any sort of, you know, actual math.
Right. It's all flavor. There's no there's no real lasting penalty, I guess, mm-hmm. would be a way to try to put it in words, right? You know, yeah. So this one's a slippery one, in terms of, like, you know, putting something up on the board. Yeah. If we were putting it on the board,
I mean, it falls apart a lot. It falls apart between sessions. It's very difficult to maintain consistency when you're tracking. I'm doing air quotes, when you track stuff this way, and then you're like, because if you forget to think about it for like two encounters, and then you're like, I think you should be out of ammo. Mm. And they're like, well, fuck, we didn't even talk about that for the last two combat encounters. It's, you know, it can be a slippery thing, but it's on here because it's the far end of the spectrum in the other direction, where you're making no tally marks, doing zero math, and using no dice. You're just narrating based on how much or how little something roughly is.
Right. And, you know, the goal being, I guess, don't have this, we don't have a good space to talk about it, but it kind of just popped into my mind. Resources are about drama, right? Like, the reason you keep track of a resource is because you're trying to avoid a bad situation, and, like, when you're out of that, the drama increases, right? You know, because, like, oh, I need bullets to shoot my gun to survive an attack. Well, you don't have any bullets now. Drama bomb.
Yeah. And so I guess that's another layer that you could, like, add to this scale, where, like, on the one side you have drama. What would you call that? Organic drama. Drama that will, like, come about by the organic management and use, loss, gaining of resources. And then on the other end, the drama comes from essentially writing, or, like, you know, the decisions.
Yeah.
The unmath.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The unmath informed, but just, like, vibes.
Well, would you say that it's
feelings of the game master?
So, like, the like tiers and categories, you know, narration heavy, that is drama created by the game master, you know, just saying, oh, you're poor, so, like, finding a place to sleep is now a dramatic event where, like, that's what we're doing, is we're role-playing this. Whereas, like, the like, you know, keeping track of every little penny, that is player drama, because they chose, you know, the player spent their money, or, you know, they're choosing how to spend their money. So, like, it's player-led drama.
Yeah. So I think you could call it players. I called it here while I was making a little chart to try and get my brain on the page. Organic drama versus manufactured drama.
Right. Player versus game master.
Player versus game master. So the game master
manufactures
drama when they feel like drama is wanting in a situation. Like, I think
I need to add some drama. I'm going to restrict a resource.
Yeah. Manufactured drama coming from the game master versus organic drama coming from the players. Them managing their resources, running out. And then the game master is still a factor in that, because they're the ones who are, like, asking for roles. Mm-hmm. Oh, you crit failed a climbing roll and you spilled some of your pouches. I'm going to affect your resource, that sort of thing. But the drama is still coming from the players and how they choose to act, informed by the resources they have, if you're tracking everything, you know, at the, you know, the minute level. Versus if you're on the other side of the spectrum and everything is all narration and just, you know, what does the game master feel is the right answer or appropriate in that situation, they are manufacturing the drama as they see fit. That's an interesting little graphic, I guess. Maybe we'll figure out something to do with it later.
Yeah. So there's lots of, in conclusion of this point, there's lots of different ways to manage your resources in game, mm-hmm. right? You can go very granular, or you can just go, you know, very broad strokes.
Yeah. And hand wave a lot of stuff and just only narrate anything to do with it when it is
important,
necessary for drama. So now, before we talk about best use and everything else, we're going to talk about
real quick question.
Uh-huh.
It would be kind of an aside, but I think it would be interesting discussion. So like the hand waving and only bringing stuff up when it matters, because like I know we have some strong feelings about, like, you know, Star Wars and, you know, that kind of thing, and like the whatever fucking movie that was that sucked ass.
There's been a few.
Is that something we can talk about later, or you want to talk
well,
about?
How would you apply that?
Well, so to, like...
I mean, I know what you're saying, so...
In the tiers and categories and, like, you know, hand-waving, but like only bringing up a resource to create drama, whatever stupid Star Wars movie that was recently, like Episode 7, the dumb one. That's not what it's called.
I think it was 8.
Whatever.
I think it was 8. I think it was The Last Jedi.
They run out of fuel.
This is what we're talking about. Yeah. Right? Now, suddenly there is a...
Suddenly there is fuel in the Star Wars
universe.
There's a
ticking clock. There's a ticking clock that comes from a fuel mechanic that had never existed in the fiction before. And... you know, but and suddenly that is like the
crux of the whole movie.
Yeah, that's the fucking like fulcrum point that the entire movie tilts on, and you're like, what is this? And maybe it didn't bother very many. I know a lot of people didn't like that movie, and a lot of people didn't like it for, you know, stupid reasons. A lot of people didn't like it for you know, obnoxious sexist reasons. A lot of people didn't like it because just they didn't have that much fun. That was the main reason I didn't like it. I didn't like that the story was tied to, like, resources and counting of mm-hmm. something that I had no like, what the fuck even is fuel
right
in that universe?
So, and we're definitely get into your views on resource management versus fun later. But, so I guess maybe put it on the board, cautionary, when you're doing resources in tiers and categories with, like, the narration.
Yeah.
Suddenly making something matter, like, you know, in a campaign.
Right.
Right? All of a sudden, this is what the session is going to be about because, you know, I just feel like, as the game master, it needs some drama. So, like, we've never had to worry about food now before, but now mm-hmm. you guys have no food and you're hungry.
But, yeah. Okay, so... There's just got to be a reason for it, right? Like, if before you say that, you know, now there is some sort of, like, counted resource mechanic, if you don't say that, you know, first you washed up on a desert island, right? Like, the thing has to come first that makes...
I get you.
That calls for a resource.
Okay, let me run with this. So... You guys are traveling, yep. or, you know, the players are traveling.
Uh-huh.
They've done 3 sessions before of traveling. They're doing, like, a, I don't know, like, a hobbit thing, mm-hmm. right? You know, they've gone through...
You travel between just, like, random...
You've
adventures.
Gone through Rivendell, you're in the Misty Mountains,
mm-hmm.
right? You get captured by the goblins, you do that. On the other side of the Misty Mountains,
yes.
the goblins took all your food.
Yeah.
So before this, before
the
point,
that's a tremendous example of what I'm talking about. Because yeah, up until that point, they had ponies, they had baggage, they had food, and they're like, yeah, we camped every night, and they stopped at Rivendell. They got their supplies replenished, and when they come out of the Misty Mountains after escaping the goblins, who took their ponies, took all their luggage,
mm-hmm.
now when they're like. Oh, everyone's hungry and thirsty.
And, like, and, I know, you know, then they get rescued by the,
right,
the
right.
eagles.
But
like,
in that
know.
Moment, mm-hmm. it makes a lot of fucking sense for the concept of hunger to come up because, you know, now we're still trekking through the wilderness.
Right. You can't go on to, you can't continue towards the Misty Mountain, or you can't continue towards the Lonely Mountains because you're going to starve. Right. And then, like, you know, in The Hobbit, divine intervention, you know, okay, eagles. Right. But in a role-playing game, it, there's a logical progression, I guess. Right.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, yeah, okay. Let's put that on the board for the least complex and, like, you know, see, it's getting a little complex, which I think we, you know, define the term complexity well enough that, like, it's not actually complex. It just takes a little game master magic because there's not a lot of complex math or, you know, tracking.
Right. Complexity of tracking is what we are saying.
Right. So it just, you have to make it logical, I guess. If you're doing tiers and categories and you want some drama by restricting a resource, it's got to make sense. It can't just be, oh, well.
But now that we say this, like, what a fucking simple thing. That would have honestly fixed The Last Jedi for me if there had just, like, if there had been a scene where they shot a missile. And
they took some hits on their fuel reserves.
They took some hits and, like, oh shit, we're dumping fuel. And then there's a couple scenes where, like, you know, mechanical type people on the ship, they try and lock it down. Mm. And then they report to the captain, whatever her name was.
They're Laura, like, Dern, maybe?
Captain, fuck, we're in bad shape.
We stopped the leak, but so much fuel leaked.
We're in bad shape. We stopped it, but this is how much time we have left, and actually, like, tie that to something that happened on screen. Fuck. Then I would have had a lot less reason to dislike that movie.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we talked about it. Yeah. So it's a lot easier if you're doing a granular thing, because the players are keeping track of it, or should be, or, you know, it's maybe their responsibility. Let's not get into that. But there is a system in place to keep track of that. When you're doing, like, just the narration, because there's no starting point of, like, you know, tracking the resource, you just got to be careful about why that's a problem now.
Yeah.
You have to just make it a good reason, which is...
And a narrative, like...
Yeah, fairly easy to do.
Not a narrative, but you have to narrate at some point why.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
All right. We're going to circle back to that conversation in a second, but first, we have to have a quick discussion about setting and tone.
And how resources play into that.
So... What is setting? Setting, the definition that we liked, is when and where. And then tone is the emotions that you're trying to evoke from the participants. We came up with these definitions after we threw out genre because we didn't feel like genre...
It didn't connect very well with resources.
But in setting and tone, if you answer these questions, when, where, and then what emotions, this is where you get... You know, like,
the biggest payoff.
Yeah, classic fantasy world with, you know, an adventurous, adventure and danger. That's the, like, tone keywords. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, classic fantasy. Okay. That, if you put all those things together, basically anyone should know what you're talking about. And then, once you have those two things, setting and tone, then you start thinking about which resources are you going to bother to include. In heroic fantasy, it's not interesting for the players to, you know, be out of food, to be starving to death, right? For that sort of, like, survival stuff to come into play in a heroic fantasy... Yeah. It just, like, you're going to probably kind of hand wave some of that stuff.
I think you should, because you're using fantasy, you're using the genre of fantasy. You should be more specific with setting.
Yeah, I guess, right? But,
so, you know. Setting when and where, like, if you're in a, call it, an agrarian I hope I'm using that word right. So like if you're in an agrarian society that like is not under duress, there's probably, you know, farms and like inns along the road.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's all these things. So like food shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
Right. Because the setting that you're in, you're traveling from isolated town to isolated town, all within like, you know, a day's travel on a horse. Right. Shouldn't be a problem. Right. And there's like, you know, livestock and like, you know, people are farming and whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's an adventure, like the emotion you're trying to evoke is excitement and adventure. Right. You know, food should never come into that.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're in a desert. You know, you're tracking across the desert.
It's not that it should never come into it, but it should never come into it up at the high end of the complexity scale.
Mm.
You know, you'd be like, oh, you guys are in a bad mood because the food is low. That's it. That is just a role-playing prompt that you guys are in a bad mood. And that's when, you know, like Thorin is like, hey, sneak over there and see that fire. Oh, it turns out it's trolls. To use the Hobbit again. Yeah, if you're going for heroic fantasy or, you know, heroic adventure,
mm-hmm.
Then yeah, the resource, quote, of food or hunger, tired, whatever, any of those sort of things, those should never be more than a little bit of narration.
Right? Yes. Right. I think we got off track
a little bit.
So. Resources the management of resources should play into the setting and tone, right? They should make sense for
that's what we're saying.
They should make sense for the setting that you're in,
mm-hmm.
and the tone, the like emotions that you're trying to evoke, right? Yeah. So if you're trying to evoke a heroic adventure, the management of resources should reflect that.
Yeah.
Right?
It should be pretty minimal. The only real, like, management you should be doing is of, like, you know, powerful single-use things or, you know, critical stuff like that. But minutia, you're kind of just hand-waving. You're like, yeah, you have a tent, and you carry it without any problems. And, yes, you usually have food. Unless the adventure swerves into a moment where... Like, it is important for this session that you guys find food. You're probably not going to engage with that very often.
Right, because the adventure aspects in, like, you know, let's say, a fantasy setting,
mm-hmm.
right, is about going from dungeon to dungeon. Getting to the dungeon from another dungeon, like, you shouldn't be, oh, we, you know, we're tired and we're hungry. Because the adventure is not found on the road. The adventure is found on the in the dungeon, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to do, like, a cross-country, and, like, I don't even know what tone that would be. Like a...
Is a road trip more of a setting?
I think it is.
Than tone?
I think a road trip, because a road trip can have different tones.
Yeah. A road trip can be sad.
It could be a fun romp. It could be sad. Mm. It could be, you know, mysterious.
Yeah. I think a road trip is the where.
Yes.
And like, what locations you actually pass through, that's less important. The where is road trip.
Right. So on a road trip, food and, like, money and, you know, camping materials, those might be important resources.
Yeah.
Right, a lot different than maybe like a war campaign,
mm-hmm.
right? I think it's assumed that, like, you know, there are supply lines. You have enough food, and you're getting enough sleep. And then, like, maybe sleep is an important mechanic on a war campaign.
Yeah,
you know, like
rest.
You know, Vietnam style, like, mm-hmm. who's on watch? Oh, everybody's fucking tired.
Yeah,
right. You guys have been hiking it's through miserable. The jungle on patrol. It's fucking exhausting, right?
And, yeah. So, essentially what we're saying is, so we talked about the two different kinds of resources, real and notional, and we talked about a sort of like three-tiered scale of complexity and how you track them. Consider both of those things, types of resources and how you're going to track them as they pertain to the setting and tone of the adventure that you're running.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're saying.
So
are you going to include ammunition? Are you going to include hunger? Are you going to include sanity? Like, you wouldn't include sanity in a kids with bikes type of, we found an alien and we got to keep him safe from the FBI. You probably wouldn't include a sanity mechanic in that adventure.
Right. You could.
If the tone is not cosmic horror, if the tone is YA adventure.
Right. You probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, one of the things we have is, like, for setting and tone, think about that to avoid, like, unnecessary clutter. Right. Like, think about the story you're trying to tell and the emotions you want to evoke. If you're trying to do, like, a very, gritty, grimdark, survival, like, darkest dungeon style, crawl like that, you're probably going to have a lot more resources than, like, a pulp adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I know I just said a bunch of genres, but also I think those are more settings than genres.
Yeah, we're throwing out genre because the genre tag of fantasy is fucking useless.
Yeah. Or sci-fi, and then then you follow it all the way around, right. And then you're back in fantasy.
But if if you say classic Euro medieval fantasy, that is a setting. Because that includes a bit of when and where,
mm-hmm.
and then you give it a tone. Is it going to be grimdark? Is it going to be, fun adventure? Is it going to be comedy, farcical, whatever? Mm-hmm. Tone. But yeah, just like calling something sci-fi, if anyone like uses Audible, they're like, I search for sci-fi. Fucking useless.
Right. So I guess the thing that we should put on the board for setting and tone when it pertains to resource management, the more specific you want your tone to be, the more specific you have to curate your resources to.
Your use of resources in your pen and paper RPG. And think about how they are going to come into play in gameplay. Which I think is an appropriate step to the last point on this thing. Right?
Yes, so when does resource management get in the way of fun? Or... when is resource management the fun?
Right. I called this bullet point resource management versus fun. And I guess I'll just kick this off.
Kick it.
Is it fun at all to keep track of this stuff? Generally speaking, I think no. I moved away from... I moved away from counting ammo, rations... stuff like that, and co-opted the Forbidden Lands and the cyborg idea of the resource dice, where just you have a dice denomination of how many bullets you have and also how much food you have or how much oxygen you have. I like that, 'cause as a game master, you've got decent control over the drama in that situation. Because, considering Dangerous Spacemen, I could always say, they shoot at you, give me a dodge roll. You dodge, okay. But it's still my prerogative to say, you dodged, but the bullet, cut your oxygen line. And now there's drama from that. You're running out of oxygen instead of, you being under fire anymore. Maybe you solved that problem. But oh shit, your oxygen is dropping, and I can just change your resource dice to be less. You can do that if you're tracking everything, by the ones. But I think it's easier when it's just like a larger denomination. But then what I'm kind of finding is, what happens when a mechanic like that comes into play? What am I going to do if you run out of oxygen. Or in Forbidden Lands, this is really the best example, I think, because we engaged with the travel and survival mechanics basically more than we did anything else in that game. I kind of hate it, right? Like, it sucks to be only able to do, you know, two things per character each day and move this many hexes. Like, it didn't feel like we were playing a role-playing game. It felt like we were playing a board game. And the penalties for failing to do stuff were just like, oh, now I'm bad at everything. And the game is already punishing and you know, grimdark and brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's kind of where I am as far as the management and the keeping track of resources at all in a pen and paper game. I kind of just don't like it, and it keeps coming back to what happens when you run out. Like, you're tired, you're hungry. I don't want that to be more than a role-playing prompt. I don't like the idea of always having this, like, you know, negative on some of your dice mechanics that is an additional thing everyone has to keep track of. And also screws up what I had planned for, you know, the adventure. Mm-hmm. If everyone's whiffing dice rolls now because they're hungry and shit. I don't know. That's where I'm at about it. I feel negatively about resource management and, you know, survival mechanics and stuff like that.
Kind of
across the board.
How would you respond or feel to, I think...
Hostile.
I feel very similarly-ish. But the experience we've had with game mastering,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, role-playing, because we switch off, so... But the sessions that we have and the players that we play with, and how frequently we play, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm curious, is that more a symptom of, like, the... It's a waste of time because I want to get to the more exciting thing for yourself of, like, you know, solving a problem and, like, you know, dealing with problems. Like, the humdrum, you know, taking care of the... Oh, fuck. What's his stupid-ass name who did the Hierarchy of Needs?
Maslow.
Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something that's fun to roleplay because, like, you know, we deal with that shit in everyday life.
Right.
So, like, it's not fun to be in a creative space of, like, you can do things that you can't do in real life, yet... Oh, real life still seeps in too much.
That's, yeah.
Did I nail it?
I think so. Terrific observation. Like, you know, because consider that pyramid. That, like, basic fucking needs, like food, housing, mm-hmm, rest, and then, you know, the tier up from that. That's where you start to, you know, get into what is interesting to roleplay. Because that's where, like, you know, stable emotional stuff comes into play, and, you know, pretty much everyone plays characters who are a little emotionally unstable, or at least, you know,
that's classic.
A little bit, yeah. Right? Like, so that bottom tier of the pyramid, fucking throw that out,
right?
Or at least take it for granted to
right,
a degree.
Yeah, because in real life, we can't go into the sewers and find, like, rat people.
Right. For a little bit of adventure.
Right. You know, we're worried about what we're making for dinner and, you know.
Also, if it was a real thing that you went and did, like, it wouldn't be fun in the way it is fun to, you know, it would be terrifying.
It'd be a little fun.
I think it could be, you know, but then the psychological ramifications, especially if they're negative, they're fun to role play. They'd be bad to personally experience.
Right. You know, living in threat of rat people coming up from the sewers.
Yeah. Great fantasy.
Probably shitty to live through.
You wouldn't want that to be your real life, though. So, I don't know. But then is the answer to that, regardless of what game system I'm running, is the answer then to basically only do, you know, tiers and categories of stuff and be like, I don't care how much gold you have. I don't know, you get some gold. And then when the players are like, later, they want to buy something, like, I don't know, what do you think?
Do you have enough money?
Yeah. Are you rich? Okay, well then you can't buy a horse.
Right? And which, like,
Is the answer to just lean 100% into that? Because, you know, we've talked about this idea. If you do it once, your players are going to expect consistently. Yeah. If you do something a certain way one time, you better be prepared to do that every time, or else justify your change to every player who was there.
Right. And I think doing that, because, like, asking the players, like, oh, I don't know, can you afford it? That is an interesting question, because if the player is playing a game, right, and, like, that's a whole nother conversation, but we've broached on the subject,
mm-hmm.
right, they're probably going to say, yes, I can afford it, because I want it now.
Because I want it. But if they're role-playing.
If they're actually role-playing, the answer might, you know, differ. It might lead it might towards yes. The
yes,
story.
Yes, my character is a nobleman, and I brought, you know, like, my horse and my saddlebags, and I have a squire, and absolutely I can afford this. Okay. But you gave me that answer because you're role-playing, not because I want this for my character.
And I think, so it's a, and the more people you have in your party, the harder it is to facilitate that in an even way, right? Because you might have one or two people who are like, yeah, I'm in the role-playing headspace, like, you know, I'm going to answer as my character would answer. It's like, yeah, I can't afford that. And then there's kind of the dickhole who's like, yeah, nope, I can afford that. I can do anything, you know, like, regardless of what my character is, who gives a shit? Me as a person, I want it. So, like, yeah, I can have it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the people who are in the role playing are like, well, that's unfair.
Yeah. I don't like that.
For me, I like to engage with the mechanics that are presented. And from a resource management point, and, like, maybe this is just, you know, my problem, I guess. Because for an example, in video games like Skyrim, I'm a big time hoarder. Like, I just, you know, I keep all the, like, you know, weird potions and stuff that, like, shit that I know I will never use.
When I beat Elden Ring on my first playthrough, I had like 18 great runes. I hadn't fucking used them. I forgot about them because as soon as I learned how to use them, I used one once, and I was like, oh, well, that didn't automatically win me the fight, but I understand like how it would give me an advantage. I'm going to save those, completely forgot about them, and just fucking knocked my head against the wall for the rest of the game when I could have used great runes at any given time, the rune arcs, you know, that you spin to activate a great rune. I do that all the time in video games. If there's, like, a special thing, like, well, I'm saving it.
Yeah. So I'm definitely guilty of that. So, like, maybe I'm just, like, the wrong person. Because I do like keeping track of things granularly. Because I think it informs my decisions a little bit better. Because I'm one of those weird players who actually looks at their character sheet and, like, thinks about the stuff that they have available to them.
So that's another thing that we didn't really have a lot of... We don't have any notes about on this outline. But, you know, you can bring the game to your players with... You know, say you're going, like, full Escape from Tarkov, right? And you are counting all kinds of resources down to... You know, down to the last penny, down to the last bullet casing, shit like that. You have to have players who are willing to engage with mechanics at that level, who are willing to keep up with that. And That's another reason why I found switching to like ammo dice instead of counting ammo to be pretty successful. Because a lot of players don't bother or don't remember to. And it's not necessarily that they're like careless or, you know, choosing actively not to participate in a system. They just forget. If your mind is not excited about this, you know, this little record-keeping mini game, there's a good chance you're not going to engage with it just by accident. And then you're like, as a game master, you're like, well, shit, then why is it here? I guess you have this much and you've bounced out of the, you know, the more complex record-keeping system, and now you're just narrating.
Yeah, I mean, that's the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? So, like, in like a base, you know, like the uneaten thing, right? With all these resources that you have for your base or your stronghold, you can have them there and you can keep track. And then, like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be complex because you have, like, you know, 10 different resources and, like, you know, all this shit. And the players just don't really engage in that. They kind of just like, we want the numbers to go up.
Yeah.
Right? Which is the whole reason I switched, like, you know, the way we kept track of resources in the Devoured, you know, campaign at the villa.
Right.
Is it became a burden on me to keep track of stuff that you guys just were not using. So, you know,
I'm going to change it.
Doing my own advice, you know, taking away that unnecessary clutter because, you know, there could have been, you guys could have been, you know, characters who engage in that stuff, you know, and is that the player, is that the character, you know, those are the decisions best left to the suits at Washington. but the, whatever the reason, you guys weren't engaging in it. So I kind of simplified it. I took it down. I, you know, scaled it down because, you know, there was, and like maybe it was fun for you guys to spend 40 minutes to an hour, you know, talking about the state of your resources without actually doing anything actionable. But I kind of saw it as a waste of time because let's get into an adventure.
Yeah. I mean, it started to pay some dividends, and it is a cool thing when we have, I think it was a very smart thing for you to do to give us a recipe, a crafting recipe, where, you know, we have medical supplies, we have electronic, mechanical, weapon. So we've got a couple different tiers of supplies, and they go up or down based on our random dices. But the dice aren't completely random. They simulate how much we're using versus how much we're bringing in. Well designed, I think, at this point. But now that we have a turret recipe, I think we just need a few more things like that, because once you have it, it's cool. And it's cool to be like, okay, you know, we're going to spend fun, some of these, and now we have this thing that we can like take with us on our next mission, or we're going to set up to defend our base because, you know, there's a real threat that our base is going to be attacked any day now, and stuff like that. That flies in the face of, you know, what I said initially, where I just kind of don't like any of it. If you do buy into it and, you know, commit to it and follow it through, then once you start to, you know, once you start to get the payoff from it, it's very satisfying.
Like, once you actually start to use them, right? Because, like I said earlier, like, I'm the kind of, you know, sicko who just, like, collects stuff and, like, you know, never uses it, but I'm like, I might use it.
Yeah, I might. I'll use it later.
And then, you know, I have all this shit in my hands.
Carrying everything.
And, like, I never get to use it because I'm always like, oh, no, this isn't the time. And then it just sits there doing nothing, right? So, like, focusing on that is kind of a waste of time. So that's, I guess that is my advice, is if it's not being used, don't have it. Like, cut that shit, right? Give your players a prompt and be like, okay, this could be something you guys, you know, latch onto and engage with, But if it's not something, you know, I'll let it sit there for a little bit and then I'm just going to take it away because there's no reason for me to keep all this shit in my head.
Yeah. Put it on a piece of paper, at least get it out of your head. And then if they're not engaging with it,
forget about it.
Yeah. Don't, I guess that's, so I came out kind of hot saying like, true. I don't like any of it. Do it this way.
But
there is payoff, right? There is payoff if you stick with it as a game master, continue to reinforce it, and if your players buy into it. So a more on target and actionable thing to say, rather than what I said, is just like narrate everything and be real loosey-goosey. Where does the drama need to happen and do it that way? That's my sort of the stance where I lean, but really the answer is put it out there, give it a chance, but leave yourself an out, and you curate it to what your players are willing to engage with, right? What are you interested in keeping track of, first of all, as a game master? What supports the setting and tone that you're going for?
Mm-hmm.
And then modulate that, adjust that a little bit based on what your players do and do not engage with, because you know you can't control what they do and do not find interesting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe the a good way to approach it is to start least complex, you know, with narration, and then like, you know, okay, for this session, because of a good reason, food is now going to be an issue, and then your players might say, okay, for this session, we're going to worry about food because that's what, you know, that's where the story is. And we're never going to do it. We're never going to touch it again, right? Until it comes up again. Or maybe they're like, okay, we'd never want that to happen again. So we're going to keep track of food from now on. And then as a game master, just be like, okay, I'm not going to like really, you know, wing you on that. But, like, you know, keep track of food. Make sure you have food. So next time I say, oh, you don't have any food, you'd be like, nope.
Hang on.
But actually, we do.
I've been keeping track.
Mm.
But then, you know, there's also, like, an honor system thing. I've got, like, some rations on my character sheet in the Devoured campaign that I can't remember if it's reasonable if I've eaten them or not. Or it's just, like, John has a couple spare rations.
Yeah. Well, food has never really been
it hasn't come up.
Big
it,
one you know, in the Devoured.
So I'm not really worried about that one.
Yeah.
But if it did come up, I'd
say,
are those rations that I've
still
eaten
good?
Or rations that I've got in my pocket? It's, you know. Like every fucking thing in this hobby, it's a sort of case-by-case thing. And as always, you're trying to curate the most rich and
making
immersive,
fun. Yeah.
fun role-playing experience for you and your players. So feel it out. These are all kind of sliders on your, you know, mixer deck for your thing. And you got to figure out what works for you and what doesn't. But, yeah, we've been thinking about it a lot, so we thought we'd talk about it, bring it to you. You want to run a recap?
Sure. Resources, right? We talked about kind of separating all resources into like two general categories. The stuff that like your players carry, right? Your physical items, your physical resources, the real resources, the consumables, if you will, you know, money, food, bullets, whatever. Then there's the notional, abstract kind of, they're there, you can keep track of them. You know, your health points, hit points, health, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's some other ones like, you know, hungry, tired, cold, you know, danger, sanity. Things that are harder to keep track of in a more narrative.
Yeah.
But, like, the methods of management still, there's ways to keep track of those, right? You know, like, you can very granular keep track of every little thing. And like, you know, I have 46 bullets, all right?
Of different calibers.
Fantastic, right? Or, you know, I have 3 points on my sanity meter, right? Then there's like just the resource die or incidence die. So like it comes down to a die and like probability of like, are you out? Yes. Are you in danger, like et cetera?
You either have some right now or you don't. Mm-hmm. And how likely are you to run out at the mm-hmm. next checkpoint?
Yeah.
And then the last one, which is just you narrate it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the most dramatic answer to this question that makes the most sense based on what happened last? That is what it is. And that is manufactured by you, the game master. You just tell it. You tell them what it is.
Mm-hmm. So, like, the resources that you include and the way you keep track of them should, like, feed into your setting and tone. Like,
yeah.
Does it make sense? Like, what type of adventure are you trying to run? Like, you know, emotional-wise, is this supposed to be very gritty? Mm-hmm. Is it supposed to be more pulpy?
Yeah.
You know, that's going to change the way that things, well... It's going to change which resources you track yeah. and how you track them.
Some resources don't need to be included at all, depending on the setting and the tone and the genre. But, you know, genre. Yeah. Genre is a hard word to use.
Yeah.
Or genres are hard to use because they don't tell you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm. And then just kind of like, you know, what's fun for you, right? Like, we talked about what's fun for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully... It got you thinking about what is fun for you.
What is fun for you? And what is fun for your players? Just because it's fun for you to keep track of it
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean they're going to engage with it. And that's not something you can control. Right. You got to adjust to
it.
It
goes the opposite way. Players can keep track of stuff mm-hmm. when the game master is not. If the game yeah. master is just doing like the tier, you know, hand waving narrative system,
but you want it a you can more still
keep track of your ammo and yeah. be like, for me personally, my character only has 3 shots left.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use them wisely. Right? Where everybody else is like, we have as much ammo as
well.
Then the game master
was like, well, I didn't say you were low on ammo. But now everyone is thinking about like why it makes sense that you're low on ammo and you're starting to... You can bring that into the conversation as a player in the same way a game master can always just say what something is.
Yeah. So if it's fun for you as a player and your game master isn't doing it, you can keep track of it by yourself on your own character sheet. And, you know, those are just going to inform your actions. Doesn't need to inform your party's actions. So whatever is fun for you is essentially, you know, the thing on the board.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. That's the bottom line of this episode and most of our episodes, but yeah, think about the handful of variables and versions of the things we discussed and figure out which thing is fun for you and your group, and then get to role playing but have more fun. That's the whole thing. That I think is going to do it for this episode of Two-Headed Game Master. If you like what you heard and want to check out more of our stuff, head on over to 2hgm.com, where the first thing you will see is a cool banner ad directing you to DriveThruRPG and our Afterlife product.
Original role-playing, post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing, setting, rules, mm-hmm. it's got it all.
Bunch of adventure prompts, some art. It's a whole book, digital or physical, as you prefer. There's also links to our Patreon, a email address to contact us about whatever. We're into it. We're here for it. Anything you got, bring it to us. Join our Patreon if you want to check out some live stuff that we do. Hang out with us on the Discord. Participate in things like our Halloween live play bonus episode that we do every year. You get to listen in on the recording of that before it airs and influence the outcome. It's fun. Anything else? Think that about it. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pondilla's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. And we will see y'all next time.
See you next time.